The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Adam, you're going to do this one by yourself.
Okay, I'll
do it. I'm all by myself.
Hi, this is Adam from Mind Pump Radio. I'm here to tell you guys about our specials that we have going on. We've currently taken all of our MAPS programs and we've bundled them together into one super bundle. You can now get the super bundle at mindpumpmedia.com on sale right now. It's going to be lasting forever. Get it now.
It's going to be lasting forever.
You forgot to say it's 9 months of
programs. That wasn't really the commercial, is it?
We're not. That was the commercial.
No, we're not doing a commercial like me. Like
that's
that.
It, bro.
No, get out of here. We're not
it's
doing
the, it's the MAPS super bundle. MAPS and anabolic, fired. MAPS performance, MAPS aesthetic. You go from each one. Perfect order. You build your foundation. You build your mobility. Then you sculpt the perfect physique. 9 months of programming. MindPumpMedia.com. Right. Massive discount. Available right now. Even though the beginning of that was super creepy with your creepy voice. It's going in the commercial.
It's going in the fucking commercial.
I just sat through that one.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Welcome to Mind Pump. You can find us on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You're listening to Sal DiStefano. I'm here with Adam Schaefer and Justin Andrews. You can find us all on Instagram.
Find us all.
You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, Justin at Mind Pump Justin, and Adam at Mind Pump Adam.
Go ahead and say it, dude.
And that's it.
Go ahead and say it.
Okay, say what?
If you want, like,
say what?
Go ahead and say what they can find it. They find
killer content and
He wants to say it. Go ahead and say it.
Awesome information.
If you want
Justin, Mind Pump Justin's side because he's the one with all the brains.
Come on our pages on Instagram and let us know who provides the best information.
So did you guys see? I tagged you on the Mind Pump post. My cousin Eat Sleep Run. She writes a blog Eat Sleep Run and she's on.
Oh, does she?
She just started listening to Mind Pump like last week.
What does she think?
Oh, she loves it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Cool. Yeah, no, absolutely loves it. And it's great because she comes from my family's hardcore conservative on that side. So,
oh yeah, you were telling us.
Yeah. So,
she didn't say anything about the bad language and
our vulgarity.
No. She has thick skin. And she has a great sense of humor too. So she definitely gets it. I'm sure.
Does she know this side of you?
Yeah, they know this side of me. I was always the bad kid in the
family.
You were?
Yeah. I have family members that don't know this side of me. So when they listen to the show, it's like, it's always awkward.
Oh, I do too.
I go to like family functions and they'll come up to me and be like, I listened to some episodes of your show. And I'm like, oh, great.
This podcast thing you're on and I almost pooped my pants.
Yeah. I'm like,
believe what filth was coming out of your mouth.
And immediately through my head, I'm thinking about like, okay, is it did we talk about masturbation? Was it about marijuana?
Yeah. Which one was it?
What did we talk about?
Talking about dildos.
That's when I
vibrators.
When someone tells me they're like, "Oh my god, I couldn't believe you're talking about," and it's like a total soft episode. I'm like, "Oh, that's the one you listen to." Okay, well, go ahead and skip the jazzling. Yeah, so that
jazzling and nuts to butts. Sorry about that one.
And then we do a whole episode one time on blowjobs?
We did.
Okay, so idea
we were
that?
Gangster back in the day.
If you're new to Mind Pump, this is a fitness show. But in the early days of Mind Pump. Which is like,
we were really trying to find our voice.
It's like 8 months ago.
We're like, we're all fitness guys. Yeah, you know that.
We would just sit down
somewhere else
and we would just go off and we literally did a whole episode on blowjobs, is hilarious.
But I felt like I was getting informed though. The whole vajazzling thing, I had no idea that existed, bro. You totally educated me.
Well, Adam's full of incredible information.
It's very valuable.
Yeah, that's when he's in his element.
Oh my goodness, just reminded me of something. There is actually a surgery now for women who don't have orgasms or have a hard time orgasming, where they actually get get this whole vagina surgery. And improves their orgasms like tenfold.
What do they do to the vagina?
Katrina actually
has
a girlfriend
getting a Nobel Prize
that has a new super vagina. And I was hanging out with her this weekend, and she was telling me about it.
Wait. What do they do?
Yeah.
In the surgery.
Okay, we have to look this up. I know this.
This is definitely a performance.
No, just hang tight here. Just you guys hang tight here.
Woman goes to the doctor and she's like, "Doc, you know, I got issues having an orgasm. I'd like to have surgery." Doctor's like, "No problem. We can definitely increase the size of your husband's penis."
Boom. Yeah. Ego deflate.
Bing, bing, bing. Yeah. Yeah, that's what they do.
I'm working on it right now.
I know, right?
She was trying to explain it to me, but I couldn't, when she referred to her vagina, I couldn't get beyond
they
that.
They found that mystical thing they call the G-spot.
There is a surgery for this. There is a name. It's new and cutting edge. It's not like it hasn't been around forever. It's new stuff. And God, I wish it makes me so mad that we don't prepare. This is what happens when we don't prepare. I wanted to share this with you guys so bad.
The triple G fold. Yeah, let's just call it that.
Fold. Our listeners are on edge right now.
I know. Well, I'm on Wi-Fi.
We've already found it before, Adam. Adam, for some reason, takes a long time to Google.
Well, I do know that post-childbirth, some women have issues with like control and... but they do Kegel exercises and whatnot. But I don't know how that affects. That might affect orgasm. But see, a lot of the orgasms that women get is from clitoral stimulation. So I'm trying to figure out what the surgery would be. Unless they move the clitoris, but that wouldn't work.
I'm asking her right now. I'm going to go to the source.
Yeah.
What is the name of your vagina surgery?
Yeah,
I'm still miffed by this whole like orgasmic birth thing.
What do you mean? That's disgusting. Have you heard of this?
What? Orgasmic birth?
No, we talked about this one time. I
don't remember this.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Where was that? I was in one of those classes where you do the...
South. O shot.
It's called what?
Like showing us a video.
O shot?
O shot. All one word.
O as in the letter O.
And then shot.
Shot surgery.
Yep. Check
it's
it out.
The O
See
shot.
If you can Google it faster than me.
I'm making my O face.
Orgasm shot. Wow, there's a whole fucking website. This is weird.
See?
It improves sex drive?
Bro, read.
Wow.
She told me it has changed her life.
What?
Really?
She's 40.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What does that have to do with anything?
Well, I don't know. It's
not there for a while.
She's coming out of her prime, right? Prime is 30 to
30. No, dude.
How long does it last for?
Let's not do this again.
Yeah, let's not.
You're going to get in trouble again.
So I'm looking.
He's always like, takes
him and his girl are
I'm always in trouble.
No, so I'm looking.
Baby, she shared it with me.
Still climbing to their peak.
I'm looking at the website right now and the picture.
I can't get mine up. What is wrong with my...
That sounds like a personal problem for sure.
I think we found the problem.
I'm connected to Wi-Fi and I can't... What did you do anything else? Just say,
I'm up here, dude. I'm on it. And
help us out here, please.
It's using blood-derived growth factors to rejuvenate the vagina.
Whoa.
Please share,
that
dude.
That does sound sick.
There's vaginas all over the world listening right now that want you to tell us what's going on here.
Pulsating, waiting.
I'm sorry. This is... This does not sound very scientific whatsoever. I don't like this.
Well, no, you can't just say that, dude.
To rejuvenate the vagina.
Rejuvenate.
Well, come on, it's a sales page, so of course they're going to use words like that. Come on.
Get to the
root business here.
They use what? They use your own blood?
They use like a massage.
Well, circular
massage.
Okay, hold on. The procedure uses the patient's drawn blood to stimulate vaginal and clitoral rejuvenation. Platelets extracted from the blood, or platelet-rich plasma, are then placed in a syringe and injected into an area near the clitoris and an area just inside the vagina, the O-spot.
Oh.
The O-spot? The G-spot? Right.
They
branded it the O-spot.
It's different.
The platelets then stimulate the growth of new cells in the injected areas, making these areas more sensitive to the touch. Okay, here we go.
Female boner.
Here's my opinion on this. This sounds like pseudoscience. Sounds like baloney. Here's the thing. If orgasms are so mental, there's so much in your mind that I would think that the simple act of going somewhere and getting treatment and then feeling like, oh my God, I think it's going to work. And, that alone, I think, might increase orgasm. In fact, there's studies.
It's the same science in Tommy Copper.
Yeah, listen.
Right?
Yes.
It would be much easier just to give her a sugar pill in that case. Let's stick a needle in your vagina instead. This is definitely going to make you think about this.
I don't know if it's a good idea to inject platelets into your...
Okay, well, have you guys heard of... when people have like knee issues and they take blood from
stem cell.
Yes, what's it called? And they spin the blood and then they re-inject it into another place. Are you not familiar with this?
I'm familiar with it, but it doesn't have any.
So it's not stem cell.
It's not stem cell. They actually take the blood. Doug, do you know some? You look, Doug's.
Yeah, it's called prolotherapy, and apparently it works.
It does.
Based on research or based on anecdote?
I have no idea.
Yeah, see,
it's anecdote for me because everybody that I know that's done that has spoke extremely highly of this, right? And this is the first time I've actually came across a woman with the O shot, but. Well, you can't just because you don't know the science on it does not mean you get to fucking poo-poo it, bro.
No, it's not. Here's the thing. If I
know a vagina it works on,
vagina.
You need to prove me otherwise.
So. Bro, but that's not, anecdotes, not, come on, that's not evidence. You know that. Look, let me tell you this. If you tell your girl right now, honey, I want you to think about what I'm going to do to your vagina tonight.
Mm.
Think about that until I come home. I guarantee you she's more likely to have an orgasm because she's thinking about it.
You gotta say in a lower voice.
So you don't think this girl, okay, girl, tried all those things, okay? She's 40 years old.
I don't know. Maybe it does work, but I'm reading that and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I would have, you know, have my girl go to the freaking, you know, doctor and, you know, be like, vagina. You know what, honey? Let's do some untested thing and have them inject some stuff into your hoo-ha.
How do you know it's untested just because you read the fucking website?
Bro,
you that it was the worst research I've ever seen you do. Yeah. Worst ever.
Mm.
You just totally just
because did. it doesn't.
We're debating something we know nothing about.
Okay,
that's the
bottom line. Here we go. This is the doctor. It has this is the doctor that invented or whatever. He still plans on doing studies to back up his claims.
Mm.
So there you go.
It's literally. Yeah.
And by the way, you're a urologist who's on the doctors. He's an actual urologist. Injecting growth factors into the genital tract of a woman has risks associated with it, and the benefits have not been teased out. I'm telling you, this is one of those things.
Ooh, teased.
It reminds me of one of those things where they're like, oh, it's this new fat, you know, cold fat removal process. Or here, try this new inject this shit into your face procedure. And I just, man.
Maybe I'm going to bring the home girl on.
Huh?
She can share her vagina story with us.
I mean, I'll listen.
That would be great.
I got no problem listening to that.
I'm sure they're great stories.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Can we talk about fitness now?
No.
Yeah.
Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Let's keep going down the hole.
Why? What is wrong with you today? Are you sick?
Wrong terminology.
All right.
What man in a three-man conversation?
I'm tired of talking about vagina.
Yeah. I'm over this.
Said no man ever.
Ever.
Right?
Ever.
Right?
I'm over the vagina talk. Let's move on.
I'm talking about
vaginas.
I'm talking about vaginas with you guys.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about vaginas with you guys.
Why?
Well, who do you want to talk with it?
Yeah, who else?
I don't know. Bring your friend in, the one who had the rejuvenate. The one who has a youthful vagina now.
I mean, what better thing to talk about amongst friends is what I'm saying.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Fitness it is.
All right. Where are we going with this conversation? No, I'm blank.
Blank.
For the first time on Mind Pump, Sal has nothing to say.
We've stumped Sostradamus.
Yeah.
Yes.
We promise that we will dig deeper into this.
Oh, very deep, very hard, very long.
God damn it.
We're just going to keep going with this.
Tell us, you had something you wanted
all
to talk
day.
About.
Yeah, oh, okay. Now you want to talk about
it. No, it's okay. Fine, you're over the vagina. Tell me. Tell me.
I think...
I'm glad that he admitted that.
What are we going to get into?
I think our age... I know chronologically what our age is, but I think our real age is like 12.
Yeah, exactly.
We're like 12 like or 13, yeah, maybe.
Bullshit. We just say the things that everybody else wants to. Everybody else is thinking it. We just get to say it.
Yeah. They're just chicken.
Yeah.
Nothing like a youthful vagina.
That's right.
I wanted to talk about nutrient timing because I get a lot of questions on this, and I know you guys do too. I know you guys get a lot
of
questions.
There was no way to segue that.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of that too.
Speaking of youthful vaginas, let's talk about pre-workout and intra-workout and post-workout.
You got to really feed it.
Let's talk about the climax of food.
With
the climax
timing. There you go. Climax of food. That's great.
You guys get a lot of questions on that, right?
A lot.
What to eat before my workout, what to drink.
The pre-post thing.
You know what I tell them?
What? Yeah.
Whatever they want.
Whatever they want.
Yeah. Whatever they want.
That's actually good
advice. Whatever the next planned meal they were going to do.
What you feel works best for you.
Well, here's the deal. This is why pre-workout, intra-workout, and post-workout nutrition or nutrient timing is such a big deal in the fitness industry. This is it right here. Like everything in the fitness industry, a lot of the information you're going to get is driven by supplement sales.
It's marketing. Yeah.
And the reason
the creation of products.
That's right. And the reason why they've placed so much importance on post-workout nutrition and pre-workout nutrition is because it's easy for them to sell you a pre-workout supplement and a post-workout supplement or an intra-workout supplement. In fact, the term pre-workout, post-workout, intra-workout was invented relatively recently, because when we were you know, personal trainers, it really wasn't a thing until I remember specifically when, because we worked for 24 Hour Fitness, what was it? Apex was our supplement company.
Oh, yeah.
They were the ones that came out and pushed the whole post-workout nutrition thing.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
You had to pair that perfectly with the carbohydrate and protein balance.
Exactly. Yeah, and so
no fats. Oh, my God.
And it's people make a huge deal about it because the fitness industry pushes it so hard. But if you were to look at... Adam, let me ask you this as a ex-competitor or competitor. You're currently a professional in the IFBB. If we were to list all the things that would impact your body in terms of just appearance, forget health now, just appearance, where would pre-workout, intra-workout, post-workout, nutrient timing, where would that rank on your list?
Close to the bottom, for sure. I'm trying to think of something that it would actually rank above. I don't know what it would rank above. It's damn near at the bottom. But you know what though? Okay, let me backpedal a little bit, because when I do get into compete mode and I am trying to be meticulous about everything, it is one of the things. So let's just say I normally prep for a show 8 to 12 weeks out, and as I'm like prepping and getting ready for this show, each week I'm either intensifying workouts or phasing into something else or getting more disciplined about something. And at one point, I do start paying attention a little bit to meal timing. And that's just because I'm out of other stuff to pay attention to, because I've already got my cardio dialed. I've already got my weight training program dialed. Everything's dialed in. So it's like, hey, you know, I just got done with my workout. I'm going to try and eat this meal right away and have this, because why not? Why not try and maximize that if I'm already doing everything else? But it's at that point. The rest of my fitness journey right now, any other time the rest of the year, I don't ever once pay attention to it. I don't give a two shits about what time I eat something or how many more minutes I have to have to work out and what I'm trying to consume. I literally have the foods that I plan to eat for the day, and I eat them when I feel like eating them. That's really how it goes.
Well, the best science that we currently have, the best studies show that post-workout, it's important to have some carbohydrate and protein if you plan on working out shortly after again. So if you plan on having two workouts in the day or three workouts, if you're one of those athletes that trains double days, mm-hmm. for example, you know, I know you did that in football.
Yep.
Then it would be important to get some nutrition in between those two workouts. Otherwise, the best science that we have, and now some of the studies are pretty good. They've done some pretty good science on this, or studies on this, and they found that it really doesn't fucking matter. You will replenish your glycogen whether you have a meal post workout or you have a meal later on in the day, so long as you're eating, getting your caloric and nutrient needs within that day, you're going to be just as well off as somebody who had to have their post workout meal. Again, you got to consider it. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the medical industry. The medical industry focuses so heavily on cholesterol numbers because it's an easy controllable factor. Right. It's easy to control with a drug. Right, they don't focus so heavily on other things because they don't have a drug that they could just give you.
Yeah, they can isolate it as a metric that they can show you like a distinctive difference that like me taking this pill has affected this and has lowered this amount.
Exactly, and so when it comes to
that's actually a really good point. I never even thought of it that way. That, and maybe this is where supplements got the whole idea. When you think about pharmaceuticals and you think about where that does matter, where does timing really matter? Taking testosterone or taking some sort of
there's a ton of parallels,
right? If you take something like that, well then yeah, there is a timing that it's important, like because it peaks up and then it starts to go through your system, and then your levels, your estrogen and your testosterone levels start to change, and then it's very important that you take your shot again or you take whatever pill you need to take to keep your hormones balanced and doesn't throw you off. So maybe that's where a lot of the supplement company came from, is like, okay, well, they've, you know, when it comes to that, when it comes to drugs and
it's
stuff,
in a concentrated dose, right? The optimal release time is at this point of the day, you know, after this amount of activity and blah, 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 blah,
right? All the way down total the line. Paralysis by analysis, like trying to make the whole supplement thing way more complicated.
Well, if they push and advertise post-workout protein intake, if they push and advertise it, they know that you're at the gym, right? You just finished your hour workout or whatever. You get in your car. I know I'm supposed to have post-workout protein. It's real super important. Now, are you going to have your meal with you in your car? Or are you going to grab the super convenient protein powder that you can shake up in your shaker cup and
or
take
the bar,
it?
Right?
Them pushing this pre-workout, post-workout nutrient timing as hard as they have has sold millions of dollars worth of supplements.
Yeah.
It has sold millions and millions of dollars worth of supplements.
Let's be honest, it's based off of fear, because what they're promoting is that you're not optimizing, you're going to lose gains because like you're not within this window. And so if you're out and about and you missed your window, you know, you feel like it's a loss for the day.
Dude, how many people I know who after a workout, if they don't have to eat or take the protein right after
like
the workout,
they're running to go buy one.
They're like, it's like, "Oh my god, I forgot my shake. I'm fucked." Like, no, you're not. You're not fucked. You're okay.
Your stomach's going to thank you, actually.
When it comes to intra-workout, like supplementation, that's important if you're doing like long, grueling endurance-type workouts. Like if you're a runner and you're running a marathon, that makes a big difference. If you're lifting weights in the gym for an hour, you're probably okay, especially if you've had some sufficient nutrition in that morning or the previous day, because you likely store enough energy to power through a traditional resistance training type of workout. But I know there's a lot of people right now listening who are like, "Oh, what about the studies on branched amino acids, like leucine, right? Leucine's so important. Like if you eat leucine, you take it with your meals, it increases protein synthesis." And here's the thing with leucine. The best studies now show that if you've met your leucine needs, supplementing with extra leucine does nothing.
Right.
It does nothing for you. Now, if you're deficient in branched amino acids, if you have low protein intake, which I'm pretty sure the average person listening right now has sufficient protein intake, if not too much protein, then taking those extra branched amino acids and leucine, not going to make much difference at all. Not going to make any difference.
No,
at
no.
all.
Well, the irony of all this is, when I'm cutting for a show, right? Even though I would think about timing for my meals and my food on certain parts of the day, like, and more often than not, it's normally pre-workout, because I just want to be fueled and I want to feel good. I don't want to feel so weak and tired because I'm in a calorie deficit for so long. But post-workout, when I'm trying to get shredded, there's more benefits in not consuming anything post-workout, because I just went through a hard workout. I've probably depleted my glycogen levels all the way down. Now my body's have to kick over to start utilizing fat to fuel me. So I actually hit a workout and then I try and stretch it as long as I can before I hit my next meal, because what I want to happen is, hey, I get done working out, I shower, I do some work, I'm not really moving or doing anything super physical. I'm hoping that my body is still metabolizing fat as its primary source of fuel, because it has no more glycogen left. Whereas if I all of a sudden graced home or jump in and grab my shake and I refuel my body, now my body's going to convert that over into glucose, and now I'm going to shoot up my glycogen levels again, and now I have a new source of fuel, which that's not what I want to do. And the irony is that people think that, you know, if you don't, your body is going to start metabolizing muscle. Like, no, it won't. Absolutely not. If you continued on this vigorous, hard training for hours on hours and hours, then you might actually do it. But if you train really hard for an hour, hour and a half, and then you're done training hard, and then the rest of your day is neat, is just moving around or just doing simple things, trust me, the body does not need to start. It does not want to take in. People don't realize this. Your body wants sugar first. It wants glycogen. It wants fuel. That's its first source. Then when it doesn't have that, the next source that it wants is fat. And then the very last source that it wants, and it does not want muscle. It does not want that at all.
It's a hard process for it to metabolize.
Yeah, so. It was hard for me to get that, though, for a very long
time.
Dude,
it was a huge shift for me.
Yes, the years and years and years of being in this, you know, the skinny ectomorph kid who wanted to build muscle. Of course, that was the biggest fear that was put in me, that, oh my God, if I'm not constantly feeding myself, you know, that my body just, it's, and I would always say, oh, I have such a fast metabolism. My metabolism is so much faster than everybody else. Well, I do have a fast metabolism, but my metabolism still wants fat first, you know, and I still got plenty of it on my body that it would rather use that before it taps into muscle. You literally got to push the body for like 72 hours of like totally being deficient on nutrients, right, and continuing to push it before it really starts to metabolize.
That's 3 days.
Yeah, nobody does that. Yeah.
Nobody's going to go 3 days.
Nobody's going 3 days.
And especially hard and training hard, too. That's not just sitting around.
Well, yeah, dude, I'm going to tell you, this was so... I had such a fear of this. First of all, what we're saying is blasphemy. You guys realize that, right? Like, we are speaking blasphemy. We've attacked pretty much every pillar of the bullshit, you know, nutrition information and supplement information that's being put out by the fitness industry. This is like sacrilege. What we're talking about right now about, you know, eliminating or not worrying about nutrient timing, right now people's heads are exploding because that is hammered in to people's minds almost as much as having a shit ton of protein is. Like, that's a big one, right? We went after that. We tackled that one already. Yeah. But this one's close. It's a close second. I myself only relatively recently eliminated pre-workout and post-workout nutrition. The only thing I have pre-workout is I have some kind of a stimulant, so I have some caffeine to give me a little bit of a you know, energy boost. Mm-hmm. And I might have, and this is only because I don't eat carbohydrates, I might have a tablespoon of coconut oil an hour or two before just to give me some extra ketones for energy, and that's about it. But I used to have branched chain amino acids, glutamine, you know, I used to do, citrulline and all these different amino acids in regular dose, in these measured doses before, during, and after my workout. Well, it's been now probably a year since I've, or maybe a little less than a year since I've taken all that stuff. And ask me if I've noticed any difference whatsoever in any measurable in terms of my performance. I have noticed zero. Yeah. Absolutely zero.
I was just going to ask you, but you answered it.
Yeah. I've noticed no changes. And within that year, I've hit new PRs in lifting. I mean, I'm still improving. And, oh, I did notice one difference. My wallet seems to get heavier now. I think I've actually had wallet hypertrophy now as a result. Yeah. Yeah. So it's...
That like thud.
It's a very, very... This is a real big one. Now, there is one interesting thing that I'm speculating on. I want to be very clear. I actually just did a post on Instagram about this. This is my speculation. There is no science to support nutrient timing in this regard. I'm about to talk about it right now. However, I would like to see some science done on this because I speculate there may be. One interesting thing is noted post-intense exercise, and that is a reduction, a pretty sharp reduction in blood cholesterol and blood LDL levels. And it's temporary. Like, you'll work out real hard, they'll test the blood, they'll notice a drop, and then it tends to come back up by the next day. Researchers speculate that the body is using up cholesterol for cellular repair for the damage that was just created during exercise. Mm-hmm. Now, to be clear, cholesterol, that is the main thing that it does. It is imperative for cell integrity. Mm-hmm. It is a building block for many, if not most, of your hormones, or all of them. And it's we know science does demonstrate that increasing your cholesterol intake, dietary cholesterol intake, will result in increases in strength, probably through neuromuscular pathways. So
which is interesting. We've been avoiding it for so many years.
Right. Well, I was just gonna say, I love how you're just going all. This episode's gonna be titled like blasphemy. Everything, dude. Yeah, this is all the stuff
straight
that
blasphemy.
Yeah. You didn't want to separate this. You didn't want to take like some of the bullshit.
We'll go for all the.
Yeah,
blasphemy.
I was gonna say people are gonna be like, oh my god, that was just too much in one episode right there. You mean to tell me I don't need to be taking any of this stuff anymore? And then what I've been avoiding for all these years, I need to actually start to reintroduce more of that.
They've done some pretty good studies on this, and they've shown that when healthy individuals increase their protein. Excuse me, their cholesterol intake, and I'm talking about like these adults were intaking 1,200 milligrams of cholesterol, which is like, that's like six times the old recommended, you know.
How much is one egg?
One egg is almost 200. It's like 186, right? So that's like four eggs or more. Now, by the way, cholesterol is no longer a nutrient concern, so that they've said now you can eat cholesterol and not worry about it. So that's the official stance. Nonetheless, they've done studies where they've had people increase their cholesterol intake, and they're stronger, significantly stronger. One study in particular, older adults who increased their cholesterol intake saw 250% greater gains in strength than the other groups. That's a big fucking increase. Now, interestingly enough, they didn't gain any extra weight. Now, the study was short and their calories were the same, so that may be why. Nonetheless, it's probably because of neuromuscular effects of cholesterol, because it's very important. Like, cholesterol is very important for neuromuscular health.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain is bathed in cholesterol and needs it.
Important to note, too, that this is a lot of speculation because there's not a lot of studies around all this. Right.
For this in particular, there are some studies. The speculation is this. I personally, post-workout, I don't consume much. I do consume a little bit of protein because studies will show that a little bit of protein may, you know, improve protein synthesis or prevent some kind of breakdown. So it's really just, you know, I typically fast most of the day and I'll have a little something after my workout. But it usually consists of 2 to 4 egg yolks.
Mm-hmm.
And with the egg yolks come the protein and the cholesterol. I'm eating some cholesterol because cholesterol levels tend to dip in, or do dip in blood post-exercise. I'm thinking it might be wise to eat cholesterol to provide my body with more, you know, more tools to repair for, you know, for cellular repair. Now, this is my own, you know, thing that I'm coming up with, but I wouldn't be surprised if supplement companies don't start to go here.
Well,
of course, you don't. They don't need science to go anywhere. And again, this is my pure speculation, mm-hmm. but I would love to see a study done on this because I could see the how that may improve, you know, recovery and strength and all
well,
that stuff.
Well, haven't there been studies, though, that have shown that dietary cholesterol does not affect your blood cholesterol, though? So wouldn't that be kind of poo-pooing that whole idea?
No, but your body will use it. And that's only because your liver regulates your liver regulates how much cholesterol you have in your blood.
Which is exactly. So if, right. if your liver is the primary is responsible for that, and I consume, you know, post-workout like you do, a bunch of cholesterol, who's to say that dietary cholesterol even affects any of your blood cholesterol?
That's a good point. And so maybe nutrient timing with cholesterol doesn't make a difference. You know, this is just my theory that there may be a difference in terms of when you eat it, because maybe it gets in your system and it gets utilized quickly. I don't know. But maybe it's like the rest of this, you know, post-workout, pre-workout deal where it really doesn't matter as long as you just get it in the day. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter that you have 50 grams of protein post-workout if you have that 50 grams of protein later on in the day, or if you had it, you know, earlier on in the day. So overall, and it's funny, man, that supplement companies, God, they hate us. I mean, they really fucking hate us.
I mean, first we're like, basically you're saying it doesn't matter with the timing. So basically you can have a bigger meal just once. Whoops, just once, not 6-7 times.
Yeah.
And then, you don't need pre, post, you know, during, and then, you know, afters, and then afters.
No, and you don't need, you know
there's
nighttime.
There's got to be a product in there somewhere.
And you don't need nighttime protein.
Yeah, you need the casein because it's slower and, you know, absorption rate. So, you know, you can eat at night and then, you know, as you dream, you're going to get gains.
Do you guys even remember when pre, post, and intra workout stuff started?
Well, like, post workout, I remember happening probably, I want to say about 15 years ago is when supplement companies started using that term. Because they used to just say, you know, here's a protein powder to increase your protein intake.
Well, it used to be a meal replacement.
Yeah, meal replacements were huge.
Protein shakes would be considered a meal replacement.
Which, by the way,
nobody calls it that anymore.
Thank you, Justin.
Yeah.
For those of you listening who are 30 years old or older, I guarantee you remember a time when meal replacement powders were huge.
You know who started that? Or maybe they didn't start it, but it was big on it. Slim Fast.
Slim Fast.
Remember that?
Slim Fast, but they didn't target.
Yeah, they were just all shake.
Like muscle, like they didn't target like bodybuilders and stuff. That was for weight loss.
Yeah.
What supplement companies did is they saw that Slim Fast success and like, oh, we could target, athletes with this. And the big one, the first big one was Metrics. Do you guys remember Metrics?
Was that before EAS?
Metrics was before EAS.
Really?
Yes, it was. Metrics was around way before that. And then came, what did EAS have? MesoRx?
Myoplex.
Yeah. Notice how Myoplex sounds like Metrics.
Ah.
Yeah, because that's what they do. They kind of copy each other.
Like, hey, you had your run in the sun.
And meal replacement powders were protein powder with some carbohydrates. That's all they were.
Yeah, it's a meal replacement.
And that was the supplement industry was so heavy into that everybody took a fucking meal replacement
powder.
Well,
dude, now it's Soylent. You know that, right?
Oh, I've heard that.
Yeah, but that's a real thing.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Soylent, it's the flavorless.
You haven't heard of it?
It has a very, very small amount of flavor. So it's like it's supposed to be like, you know, very neutral in its palate. And basically, it has everything, the essential, like, micro, macronutrients that you need. So these coders can just drink it, you know, occasionally. They don't ever have to leave their chair and just keep grinding away in the computer like a robot.
It's advertised towards, you know, people in Silicon Valley or right. people who work in tech. And basically, you can just have this powder and never eat. Because apparently eating is such an inconvenience for these fucking people.
So, yeah. Taking a break is like the fucking worst thing.
No, they're like, God, right? I wish I didn't have to eat. Yeah. This sucks.
I hate hanging around actual people and having a conversation and, you know, enjoying life.
Well, this fucking company's making a shit ton of money. And I know why. It's because in the tech world,
the Matrix.
Anything that could potentially improve. It's no different than the muscle building world. Yeah. They're looking for improved mental performance.
Oh, yeah.
So they're like buying nootropics. Exactly. They're buying, you know, they're microdosing LSD.
They want to get more creative because they don't have any ideas anymore.
They don't want to get up out of their chair. So they're going to fucking
sustain energy, things crazy, like that. Dude. Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
You know where the word Soylent comes from, by the way?
No, that.
I wish people knew. There was a movie called, it called Soylent Green?
Soylent Green, yeah. They're made of people.
Yeah, and this is an old sci-fi movie where, I never watched it.
The guy that played Ben-Hur, what was his name? Charlton Heston?
Heston. And I guess it's a society, like this utopian society, where once you get to a certain age, they take you off to like this great place where you can kind of retire. But what he ends up learning in the end is that they take old people, they turn them into food, and they feed them back to the rest of the population. And it's called Soylent.
No way.
It's fucked up. It's fucked up.
So what we're going to find out later is that this is really ground up people. And we're like, no. Yeah.
So anyway,
Aunt Jane.
My point back to meal replacement powders, that was huge. And then the supplement industry took a change that they turned the steering wheel, and they started focusing more on post-workout protein intake or post-workout nutrition. And then it was, who made Super Pump 250? Gaspari. Gaspari was the first one to come out and really push pre-workout. It was this big thing. And then he was brilliant in his advertising. He had before,
that was the Super Pump 2000 one, right?
No, 250.
Or 250.
Yeah. AKA Super Dump. They had, because it gives you the shits. They had, sorry, it gave me the shit. What he did, this was brilliant, by the way, advertising. He took a picture of an athlete before and after, before the workout and after the workout
after
with
a
pump.
After the workout, and he's all jacked.
And that's literally what it was.
So stupid.
Check out the pump that these guys got by taking Super Pump 250 and working out.
It was insane.
Now, if you've got a lot of muscle, and you can look way different.
Oh, dude, I tell people this all the time.
Squeezing yourself.
I talked about this on my Periscope the other day, actually. I talked about, you know, how you poo-pooed on water recently about, you know, it's not a big deal.
Stop you saying poo-pooed. you did a different phrase.
You poo-pooed all over it. No, and I was telling everybody on Periscope that, listen, you know, I know Sal was not a big fan of, you know, I've never came across anybody who doesn't drink or drinks too much water, so I always push water on people. And
oh, you're talking about that post I did?
Yeah.
And I wasn't directed at you.
I know it wasn't. But I did share with them that, you know, one of the biggest things when I first got into competing, I had to track water. I had to pay attention to all this stuff. And I realized that I wasn't drinking as much as I thought I was drinking because I finally tracked for the first time. You think every time you're sipping on water, you go through another bottle, you think it's so much. But, you know, until you actually start to measure, a lot of times you don't realize you're not getting as much as you think you are. So I realized, wow, I was under drinking water. So then I thought, okay, I need to start pushing more water. The easiest time for me to do that and probably the best time is while I'm working out. And I noticed a huge difference in my pump and how I looked when I started drinking a half to three quarters of a gallon of water during a workout. Because I'm a big guy.
It's 200 a lot more fluid you're putting in your body to utilize.
And 60% of our muscle bellies are filled with water. So I started getting these and I got better pumps from filling my body up with water than I ever did taking any fucking NO2
That's
creatine.
Too cheap, man.
Crazy.
Huh?
So it's the first
tip. Water, not pre-workout.
We should do a special water.
Someone's going to come out now.
We should do a special
pre-workout water.
The pre-workout water.
Let's do a deal with Fiji.
It's just like water, but anabolic.
Yeah.
It's
anabolic water.
So he took pictures of these people before and after the workouts, showed their pump, created a whole new category of supplements called pre-workout, which, by the way, now pre-workout is a massive category.
It's the number one.
It's one of the top categories of
supplements. It's number one.
Fast protein shakes.
Yes.
It's amazing.
And
unreal to me.
And there you go. And are people getting more fit and getting better results? No. Yeah. Nobody's getting better results.
No.
Now.
And in the best is when I talk to my peers, when I talk to other guys.
Nothing has surpassed creatine, by the way.
Yeah.
In all.
They've gone away from it, like, completely.
Because it's too, like, it's not
boring.
New.
Yeah, it's boring.
Not new it's unsexy. Now.
But do you remember.
And it's cheap.
Okay. Now, I remember this too. Do you remember that's when true. Creatine first came out and all the load? You had to load.
Oh,
right?
Dude, the loading phase? The loading, like 2 weeks of just.
Yeah, 2 weeks of taking, like. Yeah. You remember that?
Like 7 scoops. I'm just putting it straight into my mouth and trying to chug it down. Like, it tastes about, like chalk. Dude.
You brought up Apex and how we used to work with Apex, and Ergogen was their performance line.
And they had them load with the tablets.
And I had to take 10 of those horse pills a day, dude.
It's like you had sand in between your teeth, like all day.
10 creatine pills that were the size of horse pills, dude.
Another great example of the way the supplement industry pushes some bullshit.
You have to load like your body's going to absorb any of that.
Dude, if I have, check this out. If I have a bottle of 100 supplements and it's going to last you, I don't know, 50 days, take two a day, 50 days. And I'm in a board meeting like, hey, how can we make more money? And someone raises their hand and say, what if we got them to buy more bottles, you know, more quickly? Well, how are we going to do that? Let's make up some shit where they have to take twice as much for the first week.
Yeah, you have to.
Brilliant. Let's look how much. Yeah. Oh, shit. That'll increase our sales by $5 million. Yeah. Ridiculous.
Brilliant. It is, though.
No.
It was crazy, man.
No. So, and really, when it comes to pre-workout, post-workout nutrition, as long as you have food sometime, you know, before, after, whatever, you're fine. Unless you plan on working out again intensely relatively soon. So if you're doing like these split routines that bodybuilders used to do back in the day, nobody really does those anymore or whatever. Or if you're an endurance athlete where you're really burning through glycogen, then it really doesn't make it. Doesn't
I
make
really
that
only
difference.
See it for the only time I really even see it worthwhile is with one or two people, either the endurance athlete or the guy who's trying to bulk so hard. He needs it and he needs as many calories as he possibly can. He has a hard time.
Yeah, you might as well just eat it then.
So
right?
For me, and
but even then, he'd probably do better to wait a bit for it to assimilate, you well, know, for your body to process it.
Well, yes and no. When I was training clients, you know, 8-10 hours a day, and I was trying to bulk all the time, you know, we've talked a little bit on here about my calorie you know, burn every day is, you know, roughly 4,000 to 5,000 calories a day. Well, that's me now. I sit on my ass a lot now and I burn that much. When I was training clients, I mean, I must have been 6,000 to 7,000 calories. That's a lot of food to eat to not be eating all the time and not taking advantage of eating while I'm working out. So I used to drink a sugar drink during my workout. So I would take a drink that was loaded full of sugar.
Adam eating a hoagie on the treadmill.
Dude, I would eat a meal before and then eat a meal after. So, but for me, it was just because I was trying to get as much calories in.
Yeah.
And that was it was easy for me to suck on something that was 300 calories of sugar while I was working out.
Well, bro, I'm so glad you brought up the sugar thing. Because I was recommending not that long ago that people take dextrose post-workout, because dextrose is the fastest absorbing type of carbohydrate, and it'll replenish glycogen stores much faster. It may, but does that mean you're going to make more gains? No. Yeah. Doesn't mean shit. And so all of the negatives that are attributed to sugar, they still apply to post-workout sugar. Mm. So what I tell people now is, no, don't have sugar ever. If you can, don't try to avoid sugar. And post workout isn't
Pixie sticks, bro.
Right, it's not a magic time to have sugar. Just go ahead and eat your regular carbohydrates, your healthy carbohydrates afterwards.
Well, you know this is a big trend right now. You know, getting back to picking on Shreds people and some of these big
getting back,
get back like we ever left.
Yeah, right. You know, these guys, you know, doing the what are the little sugar candies? What do they call the sour patches? Sour patches and stuff before they go work out and shit. Yeah. Just stupid.
Sour patch and inner bicep.
And as someone else told me that was like, it's become trendy. This is a trend right now to take, you take your pre-workout, you know, it's loaded full all of your shit, and then you drop the sour patches in the pre-workout. And
you know,
and
that sounds like sipping on some scissors. Yeah.
So this just goes to show you that the issues, the problems that are in the fitness industry, the eating disorders. Because it's like they restrict themselves so much, but then they find a loophole to allow themselves
and
to have
the drug dealers come in
to have candy.
Yeah, let's get them.
No, they found a loophole to have candy. Like, no, I can't have candy. I need to be 5% body fat. Oh, wait a minute, you could drop it in your pre workout and it becomes some ergogenic type supplement. That's brilliant. What about post workout? Oh, we need sugar post workout too. Great, I'm gonna eat 10 packs of fucking Sour Snatch or whatever they're called.
Here's a protein peanut butter candy bar.
It's
you
all,
earned it.
The eating disorders in competitors and shit in this industry is mind blowing. It cracks me up. Like, they need to find an excuse to consume this shit to make it okay to go along with their goals.
You're 100% right.
That's it.
All it is.
It's a fucking excuse.
Just trying to, make some kind of it credible somehow. They're like, no, they can't take the donuts away. We're gonna do a deadlifts before the donuts.
Yeah.
Do you know?
And then that is what we're gonna do. Or we're gonna wrap a brand around it.
Or they'll have a refeed day.
So awesome.
Oh, it's refeed day. That's why I ate this whole pizza. It goes to my gains.
Can I? No, dude.
You just ate a pizza.
Stop with this shit.
Yeah. Fucking relax. It's shit. Pizza.
Can I tell you that
it's shit you're putting in your body?
I went 15 plus years of my life not having a donut until I got into competing, and it was like I was surrounded, but that and a Pop-Tart and a donut had not been in my diet for over 15 years of my life.
See, it makes people crazy.
And then I was so sucked into this myself, going like, look at everyone's eating. I fucking donuts will make me sick. I'm like, well, everybody's trying. Everyone's talking about how great it is. Yeah, all this, stuff like that. They feel so great.
Man, the pump, bro.
So what do? Of course, I fucking have to try it. Of course, I have to. And I cannot believe the fact that I've allowed myself to eat donuts again into my diet. Not like I do this on a regular basis, but it was something that I never ate for 15 years. and now, because same thing with the Pop-Tart.
Making it sexy now.
The same thing with the Pop-Tart. The Pop-Tart was the same thing too. It's like cardboard and
what
sugar.
The fuck?
And yet,
why did that not just die?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to I want to be clear. Like, I do take, I do have protein powders, but I use them for pure convenience and because I like the flavor of some protein powders. And so what I'll do is I'll add some of them too if I'm going to blend up like a coconut, cream smoothie or something like that. I'll add some flavor. But this whole time and nutrition, it needs to be this window of opportunity, which I used to talk about. I was guilty of it as well.
Yeah.
It's all, I hate to tell you, it's bullshit.
It strays away from health.
Save your money.
Well, but I do want to say before we completely just, disregard supplements.
You were going to say poo-poo.
I was going to. I was searching, bro, for lack of a better word.
He's the poo-poo.
Disregard. Yeah. Why are you going to hate on it, dude?
Please, don't poo-poo.
I was like,
It's like, what other word?
Yeah, I don't have enough of vocabulary. Here's the thing. If you have the extra money, okay, if you got the extra money, there are supplement companies out there that provide organic supplements with natural stuff in it, without artificial sweeteners, without the dyes, without all the bad stuff that it's coming with, and you have extra money to throw at stuff like that, why not? If it's creatine, if it's a protein powder that's all natural, like I said, if you got all these things that are going on that are healthy for you, and you can spend the money, then you know what? It's not going to hurt you. But it's if you're tight and you don't like spending $300 a month on supplements, it's by far the first, or it's easily the first thing that is going.
I want to issue a challenge. I want to issue a challenge to our listeners. Stop taking if you take creatine, you can continue taking creatine. That legit does something. Okay. Aside from that, stop taking all supplements. Eat all natural whole foods. Take some of the money you'd spend on supplements. Invest on one of our programs. Try one of our programs. Try one of our MAPS programs for a month. I guarantee you, you'll see far better results from stopping taking those supplements and doing good programming with your workouts than you ever did with your supplements.
Or take that same money and put it into Whole Foods, and you'll notice a big difference too.
Yeah.
Those two things: get yourself a good program or start eating Whole Foods.
No, you got to do both.
Quit eating out of a wrapper.
Yeah, you got to do both
and eat some Whole Foods.
Please stop grocery shopping at Walmart.
That's it. Check out our programs at mindpumpmedia.com. And also, don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes.
Doug's is out free shirts for that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. If you leave a review and Doug likes it, you get a free t-shirt.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.